Bet on Bears fans, another week of Chicago Bears football heading our way. Bears taking on the Lions, and we got to start the week off right. That's why we got Lance Briggs in the building, ladies and gentlemen. He knows a little something about hitting former Lions that were pretty good. Hey, Megatron, ever talk to you about that hit, brother? He ever talked to you about that hit? That was a hard hit, man.
I mean, it was nothing but respect. It was a legit hit.
It was good. It was a good hit. I didn't know if he was like, hey, man, don't hit me like that no more. Yeah, I didn't need
No. He's a football player, and he understands the game, you know. And he certainly has respect for the game, you know.
So oh, yeah.
He wasn't a guy that was going to cry about getting hit hard, you know. He was going to reload and catch a deep one on you the next play.
Oh, yeah. Did you feel that one a little bit when you hit him? Was it like, dang, he a little bigger than I thought he was? I ain't gonna.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely not.
Just brushed him off.
What do you mean? Come on, Pat. Come on,
hey,
Pat.
Hey, you know he went back to the huddle and was like, hey, Matt, don't throw it there no more, brother. What you doing? What's going on with that one? Hey, man, we got to talk about our Bears, okay, though, man. They in the hunt, Lance. We in the hunt, baby.
Wait. So, let me get this right. So, the minimum of what everyone has been asking of is if we could just be in the hunt. All right, that's a successful season. Well, Bear fans, we are found success.
Hey, we're in the hunt. Hey, Lance, I said, man, we was talking about it before this. I said, that's like a genie, right? You know, and if you'd be like, I want all the riches of the world. And the genie be like, okay. And it give you like water and be like, this is what the world has in riches. This is the world. Mm-hmm. This is what it has. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, we might need to be a little bit more specific in what we ask for next year from this Chicago Bears team. But we are in the hunt. Got a divisional game. Got to talk about that. Looking at some of our division opponents and how they built their teams out. I mean, last night versus with the Packers game, of course, the Lions coming up. Got to look at some of these different teams. And then I always like getting a player's opinion on the college football competition committee and their decision-making on putting people in the playoffs versus not. All that and more in today's episode, man. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. First things first. Lance, how you feeling, brother? How was the bye week for you?
It's been good. It's lot less busy.
Yeah.
A little more chill, a little more rest. So it's been nice.
Did you watch more of the teams around the league this week, or did you take a full-on break from football?
I watched a lot of college football. I watched a lot of NFL football. It was nice to just sit back and just be a fan, you know?
Yeah.
Fan and you know, talk my stuff, you know, during the games to the people that are around me and,
yeah,
you know, hear their opinions, give my opinions, share our opinions, mix these opinions and debate our opinions. A lot was going on.
Who's the team that you key in on when you don't got to watch Bears? Who's the defense right now that you watching that you like, hey, they got some hitters over there, boys?
I watch football. I like to look at situations, and this is, you know, this is like you're watching I'm watching Red Zone, and it's popping from game to game.
Yeah.
And I like to see the situations, and I like to see how they handle those situations. You know, there's been I watched a lot of goal line, you know, pick plays, and it was crazy. It was one, they ran it two times in a row. They got penalized on a pick play. Came back into another one and they have the ball in the left hash. Defensively, I mean, all right, so they ran it the first time and didn't get it because of a penalty.
Yeah.
You got to be ready for it the second time. Everything they said that it was going to be a rollout, like a quick rollout to the defensive left.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to find somebody to pick. And, of course, the linebacker is in – he doesn't cheat over – gets picked a little bit. I mean, he got picked a little bit, just enough to allow the receiver or the fullback or whoever it was catch the ball and score. Got to play heads up football.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we talked about that before, right? Like, there's a lot of – it seems like there are a lot of times where the things that were basic fundamentals for y'all don't come through as much now in the modern NFL. So I don't know, man. I watched a lot of football on Sunday myself, and I'm still at the same place where I was at. I can see why the Bears are in the hunt. There's a lot of bad football out there. There's a lot of good football as well now. The good teams are starting to separate themselves.
Tom Brady just recently talked about the mediocrity in the league now and how talent, you know, and coaching has really taken a step back, you know, and at this time of the year, majority of the teams should be at their sharpest.
Yeah.
We shouldn't see undisciplined games at the level that we're seeing it all around the league.
Yeah.
So that does lead me to believe a lot of things that he's saying is true. You know, coaching is taking a hit, you know, our league is taking a hit, you know, in a lot of ways from being able to hit, you know, how they officiate pass interference, how they officiate a lot of things, you know, how it's all the new ruling system, way it's dealt out. It's interesting. It's interesting that this far into the league, into the season, there's a lot, so much undisciplined play.
Yeah. And to me, I think there is a part of it that is on the NFL as well, though. Cause I mean, going into every single game, you never know what you're getting from these referee crews or what their focal point is. The final play last night where, to me, clear PI, on both shots downfield, but you call PI on those earlier in the game. It's like, so okay, like if the refs give you consistency, if the league gives you
call consistency, make your calls right down the line. Keep your calls right down the line. Don't call this one this time and then the same play, similar play, you call it this way. You're like, let's keep them this way, baby.
I think that makes it very hard. Now, it's not like it's something new, right? Y'all dealt with referees like that and when you played as well. But, like, I feel like it makes it that much harder to try and go out there and say, okay, we know he's going to call this. We can't make this mistake. And then you don't make that mistake. And then they call it that time. And it's like, oh, wait a minute, dog. You didn't do that two plays ago. What happened?
Well, I wouldn't play it that way. I wouldn't coach it that way either. I would just say, listen, we have to have a short memory, you know, because the way that the game is officiated now, the way that the rules have changed now, we're going to play this game at 100 miles an hour. So the chances of us getting a penalty or something happening, whatever it is, we have to reload, come back the next play, forget about that last play, and come out and ready to make another play.
Hey, and I'll tell you what. That's what this Bears team is going to have to do because, surprisingly enough, right, five games left. I think five of these are very, very winnable games depending on which Bears team you get on the field that day, which style of play calling we're going to choose for that day. But we got a Lions team coming up here with five games left. You can only focus on the team you have now. How do you get the job done versus the Detroit Lions? And the bigger question is, right, the defense already knows what you're going to do because you just did it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like the Bears caught them a little bit off guard early. They adjusted, and Justin Fields and the offense was able to adjust back. Can Luke Getsy do that once again to put you in a position where you're not so predictable versus this Detroit Lions defense?
Well, you're going to you have plenty of tape. I can tell you that much. You got plenty of tape. You know, it's fresh. Yeah. You know, you got it's 2 weeks fresh. So you have a starting point. You have a starting point. You have things that were very effective against the Lions. You have things that weren't as effective, especially on that offensive side of the ball where Luke Getsy can look at the calls that it was made and say, shoot, you know. I think even in your head when you're in the game, you know, and calling these plays, sometimes it's like, we should call another play. We should have called a different play. This would have been a better fit for this. You know, so I'm sure those are the notes that he should have, you know, from that game. Like, man, I was thinking about running this play right here and start adding that stuff into this week's game plan. You know, and the good thing about it is all the ideas that he had of probably why you want to hope that this was the way out, you know, of making those adjustments that were never made. The Detroit Lions didn't see it. So if you want to make adjustments that you wanted to make the first game, you can make it for the second game because they didn't see it.
Right. How hard is the second game in a divisional game, right? You see these guys a ton anyway, but right, you're going to see the Lions a second time this close. How difficult is it that second time to go out there and get a win when at this point, right, you guys kind of both know what each other does on the field?
It depends on your mental state. Depends on the state of the team, you know. If you have a dangerous kick returner, punt returner, you know that get them into the third and long and make them punt. You know they're going to try to directional punt this ball, you know, and we're going to get good field position either way. You know, we get a couple of good runs, we're already in field goal position. So we know defensively. They know what coverages we're going to run. They know what's going to work. They know what's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, they know what the strength of our team is. We know what the strength of theirs is. You know, it's, you know, there's not a lot of change, especially on a two week turnover.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a ton of change. Now there are some, you know, and in the league is unique because when you talk game plans, people will game plan. You game plan around one player. You know, yeah. I mean, there's one chink in your chain, and that's who we're going to take advantage of, you know, and everything else really is setting things up so that we can continue to chip away at the guy we think is your weak link.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think that the Bears did an excellent job, and we heard Cole Kmet today talking about, you know, Darnell Wright and how, the job that he's done over the last few weeks. I thought he did literally an excellent job on Aiden Hutchinson, especially seeing as how he's got one arm out there pretty much, and he's been playing hurt for most of this season. When you look at offensively, the offensive line going into this game, do you go into this kind of with that same mindset of we got to stop Aiden Hutchinson, we slow him down, everything else is a little bit easier? Because, I mean, their pressures are really coming from mostly blitz if Aiden's not getting home.
Listen, can we stop telling everybody that Darnell Wright only has one arm? Okay. I keep hearing this. He has one arm. Listen, that big man's got two big old jumbo size arms. Okay. He got two big jumbo size arms.
Yeah.
He hurt one of them. It wasn't functioning at 100%. It was functioning at a very low percent. Yeah, I understand that. You're out on the field, play football.
Yeah.
All right. He went out there and he did his thing. It sends me the wrong way. You know,
that's the one that hurts.
Listen, the guy was out there. He was beating Aiden Hutchinson. He had one arm. He only had one toe. You know what I mean? And he was 98% blind. Right?
He was Ray Charles out there on the left side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love that that's the one that sent you over there. Cole Kmet said he basically had one arm. That's taking it a little too far in your opinion, you say?
I've been hearing it a lot. I've been hearing it a lot. So I can see that it's one of the trending topics when it comes to bringing him up. And outside of just saying, you know what? He did a good job.
Yeah.
He did a good job. That's what he did. Not my opinion, you know, and whether you have two arms, one arm, or you have three legal arms that you can use in football.
Hey,
you did a good job. All right.
Hey, you got to relax. That's crazy. That's crazy. Three arms.
I said three arms, not three legs.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I don't know. That's still. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
3, 2, 1.
what's the biggest thing that you look for this Bears team to close out this game on the defensive end that you didn't see in that first matchup, right? Up two scores, 4 minutes to go, should have been set in your mind. Defense loses this game. I agree with you 100% on that. What do you need to see defensively to get that extra 4 minutes, that 60 minutes of football that you were calling for?
Well, the first thing is, you know, when your number's called, make the play. Just make the play. And I don't mean make the play like you. If you tackle, allow the runner to fall forward for 3-4 more yards. You know, when you fit first contact, it goes from a 6-yard gain to an 11-yard gain. You know, it's got to be a fight. It's got to be a fight once you get a hold of him. You know, get him down. You know what the down and distances are, all right? Make sure that he goes down before the first down marker, period.
Or just make sure he don't get away from you, Tremaine. I'm sorry. I attached the name to it. That's my bad.
I wouldn't go,
That's what I knew.
I wasn't name dropping, but
you that's know what when I knew the game was not going to go our way.
Right. You know, and the other thing too, be disciplined. You know, the call, when the call is made, know where you're supposed to be. Align, communicate before the ball. A lot of times communication will clear up any confusion that you may or may not have prior to the snap. So, you know, in those, especially in those critical situations, we need you to be able to defend. If we're up two scores, we're up one score, we're up three score, up by 3 points or less, we need to be able to play good defense, not just for 56 minutes, but for 60.
Do you have any, because I don't even think we talked about this after the game because we were so disgusted by the fact that you got beat in 4 minutes. What would you say if Coach Flus or let's say Coach Smith, right, had a system that basically takes you out of the game because of a platoon swap that he likes to run? Because on that last drive, Montez Sweat doesn't start the drive off on the field. They're running a hurry-up offense. He's not able to get in there until halfway through the drive. Tremaine Edmonds never gets on the field during that drive. And when your former teammate Jason McKee asked him about it, he kind of gave a football answer, right? I'm not going to throw Coach under the bus, but, you know, we got to be better. We got to play better. We got to make sure we get those stops. But J-Mac was like, I'm sitting here looking at Sweat and Tremaine standing next to me. These are now your two highest paid players on the defensive end. If your coach pulls you out in those moments, do you say something in that moment, or do you just, this is coach's system?
Well, you know, for any decent coach, you know, listen, you answer questions however you want to, you know, but the truth of the matter is you want your best players in the critical to win the game.
Yeah.
If it's to win the game and you can go, then we need our best out there.
Yeah.
You know, mistake's a mistake. We made a mistake, you know, and it cost us.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, it cost us. But, you know, and at the same time, we had players that were in the game. So you know, that aren't, they're competent. They know what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, so it's no excuse for the players that are in there to not make the plays that they're supposed to make.
Right.
All right. Tremaine Edmonds might have been on the sideline, but the series before, he was out there.
Right.
You know, he missed the tackle. So, you know, you plug him out and plug somebody else in, and the excuse isn't because Tremaine's on the sideline that they didn't execute the way it was supposed to. Whoever's out there needs to execute. However, with that being said, when it's time to win the game, you want your best 11 out there, period.
Yeah, and I feel like Flus has this, like, he said it a couple of times. He said it with DJ Moore early in the Packers game. He said it with Sweat and Tremaine, basically, that, you know, we allow guys to swap themselves in and out. But I can't believe that two guys who have been 70%+ on the field guys at their previous locations in a game where the offense is on the field 20 minutes or the defense is on the field 20 minutes went, you know what? A little winded today. I got to take a breather. I know we got to get this stopped, but let me go get some Gatorade on the sideline real quick. Like, I just don't believe that. I feel, and I don't know if this is kind of what you were saying, but it did feel like that was a Tremaine, you missed that tackle, come sit down next to me type of moment with Tremaine Edmonds.
That could have been, that certainly could have been that.
Yeah.
That certainly could have been that. You know, it's hard sometimes to say, you know, because number one, we're not in that huddle. We're not on 100%. The sidelines.
100%.
And the other thing too, you know, you see this move that the league has moved to where, you know, they spell guys get, you know, and for D linemen, I understand you got to rotate them to keep them fresh.
Right.
Linebackers, you shouldn't come off the field. We don't come off the field, you know? So when I think about that stuff, like, you know, and when I was playing, you still had bell cow running backs. Guys they didn't tap out. You know, the coaches would send somebody to give them a spell after big runs or during, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15 play drives. They'd come out and then they'd put them right back in. But it was like, I don't want to come out. I want to be on the field. Like, I am, we are better when I'm on the field. type of attitude. And now it seems like guys are okay with coming out like, hey, let me get a couple plays. Hey, let me get a couple plays. You know, I never wanted to be off the field.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you don't want to give somebody too much opportunity to look good out there behind you, dog. I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm missing an opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm missing an opportunity out there, and I don't want to miss one opportunity. I don't want to miss any moments.
I felt like that was it was weird, right? Like, you look on the field, and there's no – I'm sitting there looking through the tape, and I'm like, how's Tremaine Edmonds not on the field? How's Montez – we just traded for Montez Sweat. Was he tired from the plane ride? Like, he just got here. Yeah, I mean, so it was one of those things where, again, I look at my coaching staff and I say, what's your explanation for this? What is your reasoning for this? And even right, I think even in that moment, I get what you say when and even what Flew says, where you want to platoon swap guys in and out to keep D linemen fresh. But in that moment, why are you swapping guys out? Why do you have a unit on the field that doesn't have your best players on the field? To me, that feels like my head coach is caught up in the moment of everything that's happening and something slipped past his view. And then he turns around. He's like, Sweat, what you doing back there, dog?
Yeah. I don't know. It's odd. It's odd. And the oddest thing about it is not that they had a break. It's how long the break lasted. You know, it was long. I mean, I don't know how many plays that drive was. I know it was 75 yards.
Yeah.
So at some point, during that 75-yard drive for a touchdown, your best guy should have been out there.
Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line for me with it. And I think that's one of the things that I am going to be looking for in this game. Hopefully, you know, we get out to a big lead and we hold on to it yet again. But how are we managing the roster? Right? Like, I think there have been slight moments. And Flus, listen. To his credit, the defense is playing well without what is supposed to be a linchpin piece. I think he's done a good job the last 3 weeks with this defense, and you can start to see the progression really happening here. But there are those moments where it's just like, how'd you miss that? How'd you not see that? Against this opponent, and let me ask you this, right? Even with, and it's not to say you expect him to get fired or don't, but even with going up against any opponent, but versus the Lions, versus the Packers, versus the Vikings, how much more do the McCaskies look at that and say, listen, those games are those games. Win as many of them as you can. You need to win these games. You can't blow these games.
I mean, look, the McCaskies, they can say whatever they want. They own the team. You know, however they're feeling on a Monday or a Sunday night, you know, I can put a call in and say, you know, if I'm the owner, I can put a call in right after the game. I can talk to somebody and send them right down to the coach right now.
Yeah.
You know, and say, hey, we're doing an emergency meeting, evaluation meeting on Monday, you know, and Kevin Warren and Brian Poles is gonna sit in with our coach to evaluate the decision making that was made.
Yeah.
But you know, it's also there's a position of, you know, we selected this guy, you know, and good, bad, or indifferent, you know, we support him even when he makes mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, because all of these coaches, there ain't one coach in the NFL that doesn't make mistakes.
No.
You know, there's not one. There ain't one. All right. You know, the thing about it is how do you respond to those mistakes? Okay. Whether it be a call, whether it be a bad challenge, you know, a poor preparation. You know, or not coaching the details. You know what I mean? So you're leaving stuff on the table for these guys. So, you know, it's there's a lot there.
Yeah, I mean, and even to the details, right? It's what you said before, right? Like, listen, we're still. I mean, that last game, how many penalties did we have on defensive PI? You know what I mean? And I get some of them. I'm like, all right, I don't know about that one, ref.
Yeah.
I think y'all just, it was laundry day and y'all wanted to show that the flags were freshly yellow. Yeah, I mean, but we're still seeing, and I get it with young players, but we're still seeing a ton of the same mistakes that we were seeing in week one, that we've been seeing in week two, week three. We're in week 13. Mm-hmm. And I'm not seeing those mistakes get coached out. And I'm going to be real with you, right? Like, completely different from last year's team. Last year's team seemed to be a very disciplined team with a lack of talent. This year, I feel like you have a wealth of talent, but because you have that talent, maybe you're not speaking up as much, or maybe guys aren't paying attention as much.
That's good stuff right there, Pat.
Every now and then I drop a little something, Lance.
That's a gem right there. I tell you what, you know, the focus, you can tell the focus last year was on what was on that discipline, because there was such a dramatic drop from the year before in penalties, you know, and then, you know, you bring in more talent, you know, and with the talent, there's a drop off in that discipline for penalties, you know, and there's, because there's a higher talent level. Sometimes, you know, coaches allow you to get away with a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, and all that stuff adds up, because the little things lead to the big things. So, you know, by rule or by principle, you coach the little things. You don't let anybody get away with a little bit of this or a little bit of that. You don't allow that stuff to creep in, and you stay sharp.
And that's been, I mean, we've been talking about that. I mean, week three? We were talking about Claypool disrespecting the hits principle. I mean, well, really, week one. Really, it was week one.
Really, it was last year.
Yeah, really, it was last year, right? But like, but we've been talking about this the entire time, and their solution to it was get rid of the guy. Okay, you got rid of him. He's out the building. Now everything should be solved. We're seeing the same problems pop up. I'm seeing a lack of the H in the hits principle at certain times, or I'm seeing a lack of the I, the intensity. We finally got the takeaways. I love the takeaways, and I think that that's on both sides, right? Like, to me, the I goes away in that Detroit game when you say, all right, boys, we've done enough. Let's pack it in.
Well, you can't isolate one incident and say that they're not practicing the hits principle. You know, what wasn't evident in week one was that whole it's hits principle, we are an effort team.
Yeah.
That was a complete letdown. But you started to see a change, you know, as you know, then look, there's a lot going on, you know, the DC and you know, it's not a cause of confusion.
It's crazy up there.
No, I don't ask, don't tell what's going on, but you saw a gradual change, and what I have seen is they have become a effort team, you know, and I don't think effort is the issue or the problem. You know, there's a lapse in discipline in the last 4 minutes. And whether that be in your tackling, in coverage, in securing the ball, you know, but I do believe that this is a team that is, has been prepared in a much better fashion leading after probably week three, moving on since Eberflus took over. You know, now whether that preparation or that game plan was effective or not, it is what it is. You know, you try for something, they try for something too, and their game plan may be better than yours. Right. But this team has found a way to get into the cut. What do we call it? The cut?
In the hunt, baby.
They're in the hunt, baby.
We in the hunt, baby. Speaking of being in, I appreciate you guys tuning in. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, man. We do talk Bears Monday through Friday over here on the Chicago Bears podcast. With that being said, in the hunt right now, you've got 5 games left. Yep. Let's rewind 15 years for you here, Lance. You're back on the field. What are you telling your team about the, was that, should I not have put a year on that?
I'm sorry, Lance.
I'm sorry. You look good, bro. You're doing good. You all right? Yeah, I mean, you look like you still got snaps left.
I have to, you know, it's about can I take my brain there again right now?
You
know,
you can take, you can take,
like, if you, what you said was, you said, hey, what would you, if you're in the huddle, what are you thinking that you want to convey to your teammates?
Right.
And like right now, like I can't take my brain back. I can't take it back 15 years. But what I can think about is what I'm thinking about right now.
Let's take brain.
If I were you, I would get me off of this field if you guys want to win this game.
All right. I gotta refresh again, right? This is a lesson, right? This is how we got the 4-8. Ask for things more specifically. Mm-mm. Let's take 15 years ago Lance's body.
Oh, yeah. And mine?
Today's Lance's brain.
Okay, run through a brick wall.
There we go. Okay. What are you telling your team to try and get them mentally prepared for what is, how Cole Kmet said it right, every single game at this point is a playoff game for you as you go out on the field pretty much?
Yeah. I would probably say, listen, if you guys, I said my group, my circular group, whatever, or well, everybody is a team. If you guys like this coach, the coach that we have right now, like that and you like what we have going on, if you like your situation, you know, how we go to work every day, you know, the way that we're treated, all those things.
Yeah.
If you want to have any chance for that to continue, then we need to win every one of these games. Okay. Because tomorrow's coach, we don't know who that is.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know who that is, and we don't know how that will change the direction of your career. Because all of you guys, like a new coach means some of you, I mean, with the same coach, some of you guys aren't going to be here. But with the new coach,
a lot of 1 year deals. Definitely, out there.
There's a lot of guys that definitely will not be here.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to fit what he sees. Okay. And everybody is going to be different.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that being said, trust me, I've been there. I've had this conversation when it pertained to Lovie.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, you know, it was one of those deals too. You know, it was like, man, it really sunk in. It hit. And I'm like, man, we really have to get our job. We have to do our job.
Yeah.
We have to get out there and we have to do our job. We got to win games so that we don't lose this coach. And it's crazy because we thought even at 10-6, we knew that there was a heavy chance of him going to get fired regardless. We knew that. We got 10 that year, but we needed 11.
Yeah. What's that feeling like? Where you feel like you've done everything you can, but it still isn't enough. Because I think that honestly could be a situation that these players have here, right? Even if you went out, you beat the Lions, you beat the Browns. Browns don't have a quarterback. People are going to look at it and say, you were supposed to beat the Browns even with their defense. You beat the Cardinals. I don't know what the Cardinals are anymore. I don't know if they like Kyler Murray or not. They don't know if they like Kyler Murray or not. You know what I mean? The Falcons are a tough team. Maybe that's a win that you put on your hat. We know how the McCaskies feel about beating the Packers the final way of the season. You went out five games.
It's going to be tough.
It still might not be enough. What is that feeling like as a player?
You gotta go out and do your job. You know, your job isn't to go out to lose. You certainly don't go out there and play to lose. Like that's not the way you shouldn't be built that way. None of us should be built that way. And I don't want to be on the field. I would never want to be on the field with a guy that's built that way.
Yeah.
You know, and you learn that. You learn a lot of that stuff in the summer and training camp. And then when it carries over into the real season, you get in those critical situations. You see a guy that I'm flying in here, hitting the guy, and the guy next to me flies in and sidesteps, you know, and lets the guy run right by him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, listen, I'm over here and I'm going to break my neck. I'm out here. You know, I'm going to break my neck to make sure that you can make a play and you're going to sidestep a guy. You know, we're going to have problems on the sideline. We're going to have problems in the locker room. We're going to have problems every day until either we get somebody else in here, or you figure this thing out.
Yeah.
Because I'm not about here. Because the reason that we're going to lose a game is because you don't have enough balls to go out and do what you got to do.
Yeah.
All right.
That is. Listen, I hope that this Bears team does. I think that this Bears team does. But we got to see them close some of these games out. Even looking at last week, man.
It's not complicated. It's not complicated, Pat.
Yeah,
it's not. It's only complicated if you like overthinking and you like the making discussion.
Yeah,
you know, if it bleeds, it leads type stuff. You know, we got to talk about something. Let's get the thing going. Let's get the let's get the blood flowing on the Chicago Bear fans. But it's simple. It really is. It really is. You know, at the end of the day,
you don't need a Ray Lewis out there for you. That's what you're saying right there. You don't need to get the praise out there right before you go on the field to get you ready to go.
For a grown man?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Ray in the huddle, I just listen to Ray on the TV, and I'd be like, hey, bro, I need a football real quick. When he said, we got to be at the level of Eagles, because if an Eagle looked to his left,
He know it got to be another Eagle there. I said, hold on now, bear down. Hold on, wait a minute. He don't even play for us. I need a football real quick. Yo, it can't be a seagull up there, Lance. He can't fly high enough. You got to be with the Eagles, baby.
That's true. Very, very true. Very right, true.
But you didn't need it. You didn't need it. You was going
now,
out there.
A grown man shouldn't need it. A grown man shouldn't need it. Now, my 8U, I'm going to get them pumped up. You know what I mean? I got to get them pumped up. I got to get their mental. Got to make sure that they're mentally ready and locked in. Yeah. For a grown man and you're a professional, you're at the highest level. You made it here. You need me to motivate you? Mm-mm.
That's always my biggest issue with how people talk about a lot of the coaches, right? Because they look at certain guys and they say, he's a motivator. He's going to make guys do what they don't want to do. I'm like, I don't know if I want a team of dudes. I got to make do what I want them to do, right? Like, that's a lot of the talk around Flus, too. He's like, these guys aren't motivated to play for him. I'm like, they made it to the NFL. They're getting paid millions of dollars. They should be motivated to play.
Period.
Because of that.
Period. Period.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Bad situations pop up. I don't think this is a – we're not in a Carolina Panthers situation here, y'all.
When you strip away the talent, you know, the physical prowess, everything that built, you know, outside of just this one skill, like – if you made it to the league, you were a competitor growing up. You were a competitor. Like you love to compete. So when you get to the league, you know, obviously you're making a lot more money than you've ever made before and all that good stuff. But you get to go to work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you get to do this for work and you get to compete for a job. I guess your career is to compete and you stretch and you go through calisthenics every day, you know what I mean? And then you go through your warm-ups, your everyday drills, your 7-on-7s, your inside drill, your team period for a job. Come on, man. What's better than that?
That's how I feel doing this, dog. I get to wake up, go to work, and talk to Lance Briggs on a Monday, brother.
Look at you.
I'm not going to lie. That one made me feel the awe was a little much there, brother. I tried to get, you know what? Now it's a job again. No, I'm just playing. No, I love it, man. I think it's weird because, right, let me ask you this. When you look at last week, we talk about the Bears and these, either they're the greatest team of all time or they're the worst team in football. There's nothing that people want to have the conversation on in the middle. But I think that last week, first divisional win, that this Bears team has gotten under Matt Eberflus, a 12-10 win. You didn't score a touchdown. This was a grind it out, go out there and try and do everything you can type of game to come away with a win. Justin Fields drive you down the field. Do these type of games do more for you sometimes than the we blew them out by 40 because of you had to dig so deep to get the victory to go out there and actually beat the team?
Yeah, I mean... I want to fall back on, like, it's not that complicated, you know, the things that you want to see, and it's interesting because every week there's something else that you want to see. Oh, these guys haven't won a game in 21 games or whatever it is. They're on this streak. All right. We in that streak. Our defense isn't making any stops. Okay, defense aren't making stops. Oh, well, our offense isn't producing. Our offense produces. Well, now they're not finishing. Okay, the offense finishes. Well, they're still giving the ball up. All right, and I don't like all the bubble screens. Okay, well, they won the game. No,
hold on. You don't like the bubble screens either. No?
I don't disinclude myself from all these comments. Yeah. Like I'm part of the media too.
Right.
Part of the media too, you know, but you know, and then when a lot of these questions get answered, it's still, all right, but I don't like him. He's, you know, why is your grade so high for the coaching? You know, why would your grade be high for the coaching? Well, number one or two of our, of the categories got an A. Yeah. How the heck can I fail coaching? And he got either offense got an A, defense got an A, or special teams. Doesn't make any doggone sense. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, so You know, I don't do it. I don't do my grades based off of whether I like a coach or not. You know, my grading comes based off of what this coach is doing, how he's affecting this team. Is he preparing this team the way that a coach needs to prepare this team? You know, whether they execute, whether they execute or they don't, you know, that's the player. But the coach, is the coach doing his job? Is he, you know, and I also don't, I don't grade interviews. I can add that. I can add that. Great interviews. He would probably fail every time. He'd probably fail every time. He would.
I just, here's my thing, right? I don't care what you say in a press conference if you win, because I ain't going to lie to you, right? I love Lovey. Lovey is the coach of my childhood, right? And
he wasn't exciting.
Bro, like hearing Lovey in the press conference would make you feel like we was gonna lose every single game, but then y'all would go out there and would win 10 because Lovey would just control, because it would be right, like, hey Lovey, you know, you're going up against the Minnesota Vikings this week. They have one of the best front fours in football. Are you gonna do something different than, you know, run the football right at them? Well, you know, we're gonna stick to what works for us.
And we're gonna get in our gap.
And that's our game, and we're gonna beat our gaps, and we're gonna make our plays. Don't, and
listen.
Hey, and then y'all would win, and I'd be like, bro, all right.
Go ask any New England fan over all of those Super Bowls, you know, with Bill Belichick answering those questions as vanilla as you can possibly get in the league. Like, Lovey was actually Cincinnati. Colorful. He was colorful compared to Bill, New England coach, compared to Bill, you know. So it's to, you know, I know what Chicago's I get it, you know, Mike Ditka and all that stuff, you know, and those type of guys. But I prefer wins. I prefer building a championship.
Yeah. And
any kind of super Ozzie Guillen type, you know, nobody's like him. You know, those unique guys.
But that's the thing, though, Lance. Those guys won us our championships. Now, Lovey did get us the one.
But it doesn't mean that type of coach gets you there.
No.
You know, you got a coach that's teaching football, and you can see that in the way that they play.
That's the one thing that I will say, too, because everybody always says the funniest thing, and I think it's one of the privileges we get of, you know, being on this side of things, being in media, you being a player, is we get to go to training camp. And I keep saying this. They cussing these mugs out at practice. They're not sitting here like, it's not Matt Eberflus just like, all right, guys, come on, let's get. It's like Flus, like, let's get to the line. Why are we walking? Like, they're screaming at them.
Yeah.
Screaming, like, for some reason, there's this generation of people that think, if I scream at you and I'm willing to punch you in the face, that means I'm a good leader.
Mm-hmm.
That don't mean you're a good leader. That means that you got a good vocal range. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Go be a singer. You can talk somewhere. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I don't subscribe to the I need Mike Ditka to scream in my guys' faces or threaten my guys' jobs to go out there and motivate them. I don't even think that would work with most of the league right now. And if we're being real, right, a lot of the coaches that were those guys, we're slowly starting to see them leave the NFL because this new generation of players be like, who are you talking to?
Listen, I wouldn't last very long.
But
you know what?
He said it's the old generation too. You're not gonna talk to me any kind of way.
Yeah, I mean, you're not. I wouldn't talk to anybody just like that anyway. Like, I give men their respect.
Yeah,
you know, to me, you either and if I'm coaching you, you either did what's asked or you didn't.
Yeah,
you know, the excuse never comes before accountability. Okay, you have to be accountable first. And then we can deal with that if we want to go that route. Because when it comes to the production-based business, the excuse, I don't even want the excuse. Well, a lot of times I don't even want the excuse. You know, they got a first down because you didn't do – did you do what I asked? Did you do what you were taught? Did you do what you were coached?
Yeah.
All right? If the answer is no, I don't want to know it because they got a first down. I don't care what the answer – what the excuse is. You know, make the play.
We know that's what Lovey was looking for. You know what I mean? So I love it. Hey, what was Mark looking for? Was Mark in the back of the room with y'all with the laser pointer? Was like, Lance, what happened here? He's like, Mark, don't.
He didn't say a whole lot. He didn't say a whole lot. Not in the defensive room. He would bring us all into the as a team and show us CFL highlights.
Yeah.
CFL.
Bro, wait, hold on. I don't know if nobody's ever talked about this. He was showing y'all CFL highlights to do what?
Just to tell us how great these numbers of a guy he coached put up 11,000 passing yards. Yeah.
Can't the football bounce?
Listen, I'm as puzzled as you are right now. When I was listening to this, I'm like, listen, man, CFL, like, you know, like this is the golden prize right here.
Wait a minute.
I ask all the time, like, hey, what do yards in the CFL mean in the NFL? I was like, nothing. Nothing. I'm like, exactly. So why we gotta sit through this?
Wait a minute. Can't you bounce the football once and they can catch it and it still count as a completion or something like that to CFL?
I don't know. I never played there.
Oh, you talking about 11,000 yards? That's funny, bro. That was fun. Hey, listen, if you guys could play like this, you'd be pros in the CFL. We in the NFL, dog.
Killing me right now.
Now I got a Star Wars figurine coming in that I'll be right back, guys. Let's keep this thing moving along. Appreciate your opportunity in the show. Hey, the CFL highlights is funny, bro. I ain't never heard that one. That's great. Yeah. Let me ask you this, Lance. Mm-hmm. When you look at how the Lions, who we're playing now, have built their team up, the Bears could pot. Listen, we win 5 games, right? Now we're talking about them being on the same trajectory. But they did it kind of the inverse that we did. We went linebacker first, and now we're starting to add in our D-line, drafting young D-line, different things like that. They went D-line, O-line first, and then they started adding their pieces based on, you know, what they had on the lines. Which do you prefer? Which would you rather see? Which would you have rather seen be done if you were the GM of this team? I'm giving you a raise again, Lance. GM Lance back in the building. How would you have gone about it?
We need to talk about how much this raise is. You can't just tell me you're giving me a raise. Can't just tell me you give me a raise and you want me to shuck and jive for you. All right. I ain't going to shuck and jive now. All right. Show me some numbers now. I need telephone numbers now.
Hey, man. Let's see. What's Ryan getting?
We're good. I'm just messing with you.
I don't know how much he made. They just be paying these mugs, bro. I'd be like, he in the building. I don't care.
Hey, look, it's all. I really like the way that they're doing it right now. And it's all based off of, you know, what is being provided in the draft. You know, last year, there weren't a lot of interior D linemen. There weren't a lot, you know, and I think it was, in my opinion, it was a down year too for O linemen. You know, it was big for a lot of skill guys. So you had to take your pick, you know, you had to take your pick and you had to pick it early. Because there's going to be a lot of drop off, and it's going to have a drop off early. Because once you start picking those guys, teams know, okay, shoot, there's only this guy or this guy that's on the board. If we're going to take, we got to get up there, or might need to trade up to get them now. They tried to fill needs through the free agency, you know. And I like them trying to fill needs through free agency, but not trying to buy everybody up. You know, you buy a piece here. Buy a piece there. Let's see what we're going to do. And then we'll fill other pieces up in the draft. We have another offseason coming up. All right. It's going to be interesting what picks the Bears get in the offseason. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if they'll be able to trade back to get more picks. But this is a draft coming up that has its heavy offensive linemen, its heavy defensive linemen. We've got some players now.
Yeah.
You know, I went through about 7, 8. 3 techniques. All right. I like 5 of them.
Ooh.
I like 5 of them.
I like to hear that. Are these guys that may be under the radar? Are these first round, second round guys?
These are first, second round guys. I think, you know, I don't even think these 3 techniques get to the third round. I think they're too good. Okay. I think each one of these guys can use, you know, I can tell you right now, for anybody who's looking for the guys I'm looking for, all the guys I'm looking for are right around 6'2", 6'1". All right. There's a big boy. He's 6'4". It's too big, too tall, you know, and not that he couldn't do the job, but these other guys are just better fits. You know, they're going to cause more havoc. They're quicker. They're going to be quicker than him.
Right.
Okay. But yeah, like I said, I saw some talent there. I saw some guys that can really come in and be a force, you know, be a force for us moving forward. So I'm
you think Ryan just built for the scenario that he was in, which is the smart thing to do, right? He just built it based on where the market was at right there.
Yeah, you know, and you don't, you know, if you reached for anybody other than Jalen Carter last year, you know, yeah. I mean, well, Kendrick Clancy, I think Kendrick Clancy's good.
He's Kalijah.
Good. Kalijah. I'm sorry. Hey, he's very good.
But that's a dog. That's right. A dog.
But if you get the, but at that point, you just like, I'm either gonna go defense. If you're going defense, you got to get Jalen.
Right.
All right. If you say I can't get Jalen, I have to get Clancy. All right. Or I'm going offense. All right. We know this pick. This is the, you know, the solid pick. We go to offense.
Right.
You know, next year or this upcoming year, depending on what happens, that's probably gonna, we might be in the same position. But in this position this year, you can get that top offensive lineman and that top defensive lineman. You can get them both. You can get them both.
Hey, there's absolutely an opportunity here for him to clean up. That's going, you know, that's one of the main reasons why I think the quarterback position doesn't change, because there's a real opportunity for you to solidify both of your lines. Yeah, maybe you miss out on another QB that becomes a CJ Stroud or something like that. But if I fix my center position, I fix maybe my left tackle, and I get a three technique.
Stop trying to go and get CJ Stroud. Stop trying to go and get Patrick Mahomes. All right? Those guys are who they are. You need to go. We need to go and have what we have. Let's make the best doggone Justin Fields.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's just make him the best doggone Justin Fields that we can make him. You know what I mean? Or he can help make this team. That's what, you know what I mean? Stop trying to go get somebody that we don't have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how this whole thing finishes out. I think the next 5 weeks, here's the thing. The part that irritates me is I think people have just picked their sides. Either you love Justin or you hate Justin. And it's like, well, he got 5 games left to go out there and play. What if he's, you know, 300 plus yards in the air and 75 rushing yards every game, and yet we still all hate him?
Whether you hate him or you don't. See, this isn't a Mitchell Trubisky situation.
Yeah.
All right. Like before Mitchell was drafted, there was nothing that said he should be drafted or have all those trades traded away to move up to get him. There's nothing that I watched tape on him in his career at North Carolina that said that should have been done. All right. And I certainly rooted for it.
Yeah.
It wasn't there. It wasn't there before. It wasn't there during. It wasn't. It still ain't there at Pittsburgh. Okay.
He did just get in too. He did just get in.
Yeah. Immediately. You know, now Justin, on the flip side, everything said that he is a guy that can do that on the biggest stage, consistently. And yes, he did have. He was treated over there because he had the offensive Ohio State offensive line.
Team.
You know, with a lot of the best receivers and stuff like that. Yes, absolutely. There's going to be a transition to even play in the NFL. But what he has shown me is that I do believe that there's a system that we can run that he can thrive in.
Yeah. No, 100%. That's a pie for another day, bro. I feel like I've said too much about Luke Getsy already. Y'all already know my feelings on him. I don't care who we got at quarterback next year. Lance, you playing quarterback next year. Luke Getsy can't be your OC.
Man, listen. You keep trying to put me in this game. You're going to have to pay me a lot of money
for that
one play. I'm getting paid. I want guaranteed money.
Now, Lance, hold on. We give you $5 million guaranteed, right? Right? We give you $5 million guaranteed. Well, but we put you behind San Francisco's offensive line.
Well, I want guaranteed on signing. Guaranteed on signing. That's all I need. Guaranteed on signing.
He said, because I'm going to need at least the meal for the pulled hammy immediately.
Yep. Depending on if I have to play one snap, I will make it through warm-ups.
Yeah.
But you better have a backup warming up ready. Because it's going to be quick.
Let's finish it off here, Lance. Let me ask you this. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. You're a big college football guy. And I'm not going to lie. Like, you and J-Mac and all of y'all watching college football has made me watch college football more this year than ever before. And I, for the most part, kept up with it.
Yeah.
Should FSU have gotten in to the college football playoffs? Did the competition committee get it right?
Yeah, I think if Jordan Travis is healthy, FSU is there.
Yeah,
FSU's there. Without him, and you know, the second and third string quarterbacks. No, I believe they made the right decision, and the even better decision is moving to the 12 game playoff next year.
Yeah.
So there is no question mark there. You know, if we're arguing about the 12th or 13th team, I think the country will be okay with it. You know, and we'll move on from there.
Yeah.
But the answer is the 12 playoff team, 12 playoff system that they're moving to next year.
Yeah, I mean I felt like if anything, if you were going to put FSU in, that means that you can't have an SEC team in there, right? Alabama doesn't make it. Alabama beat Georgia. They don't make it. That's the only way you put Florida State in. I think that scenario happens if you're going in there with your starting quarterback. But they are the competition committee. And I know they're wrong every year. Like, for somebody, they're wrong every year, right? And there's a lot of times where I look at them, I say, that was a horrible decision. I have no idea what you guys are doing. But this year, we're talking about putting the best four teams that can compete together. Competition committee. FSU without their quarterback can't compete, to me.
I agree. You know, the tough thing is Georgia hasn't lost in 2 years. They have the easiest strength of schedule of this top six this year.
Yeah.
You know, FSU had one of the tougher strength of schedules, you know, and they earned their right as a power five to be in that four. And with Jordan Travis, they're in there. I think the SEC loses out if he's there because there's all of the non-losses.
Yeah.
You know, non-losses in the power five, you know, but in this situation, I believe they got it right.
And you look at the last game, like I get it. Brock Glenn put up 55 yards, bro. Yeah, they can't compete with him. You know what I mean? Like he put up 55 versus
Louisville. And that's what they're looking to see too. Because those players, it's outside of Jordan Travis, those players busted their tail.
Yeah.
They busted their tail, you know, and for a lot of them they won't get another opportunity to compete for a national championship. And that's sad.
That does suck. It does suck. Mm-hmm. And I tell you this right now, I agree with you 100%. The 12 team next year, we're not going to have these debates anymore for the rest of our lives.
Well, you know, there's going to be, you know, Kennesaw State and somebody else that's going to, you know, be like, come on, man, we want that 12th spot. We fought for that 12th spot.
You know? Well, you're going to be arguing for Northwestern at the never mind, don't worry about it. Hey, man, appreciate y'all for tuning in and rocking with us. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Illinois is coming. Oh, maybe not. Appreciate you guys for tuning in for another episode of Chicago Bears Podcast. Pat the Designer, Lance Briggs. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. Let's go get a dub versus Detroit, man. Peace.